97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Welcome into your Tuesday morning and the Mark Cox Show. This is Mark, by the way. That's Kim St. Ange. Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas has got all of your traffic updates for you here in just a couple of minutes. I just got a text message from the friend who went to Sammy Hagar with me on Saturday night, Joe. And he said, unless I'd mentioned it earlier, I was too kind to the casino for the shuttle problem. And I did mention it in the 5 o'clock hour, Joe. I just have to tell you, we bought into the marketing gimmick that you could go to the casino and pay $15 to get a shuttle ride over to the amphitheater, and it would be a lot easier. But they sold too many of the $15 passes, and there was a line 400 people long to get over there. I mean, there were people that might not, they probably missed Loverboy. They probably missed the warm-up act just waiting to get over there. And if you didn't have a reserved seat, you were just out of luck because the lawn was packed, and you got there late. You were way at the top of the hill, so that must have just been awful for some folks.
Now, Mark, when I went to Pitbull last year, dressed as Pitbull, by the way, I did the same thing, and our experience was a little better.
A little, well, and when I went a year ago, I think to this, it was a little better. But now they've been marketing it, and at some point, you should realize there are only a certain number of people we can transport over there in a reasonable amount of time, because they didn't start moving them till like 5 o'clock.
Well, isn't it like airlines? It's anything. Hotels, they overbook, they oversell, knowing that a certain percentage of people aren't going to show up, and they're banking on that. So when people do actually show up, they're like, oh.
Yeah, and the casino only cared about making the money, and of course,
no, they would never do that. Mark Cox, how dare you accuse them of that?
All the extra beer sales they were going to get while you had to wait in line to get onto the shuttle. So it worked out for them.
Well, except for the fact that, like, when I have a hockey game, I do not leave as soon as the hockey game is over because I know that the parking lot will be full. So
no,
I
that's
wait.
True. There's also
you
free beer somewhere
early.
In the building,
no,
Carl. That's why you
leave
wait.
Early. Can't leave
be honest.
Before
well,
the
you
game's
can't,
over.
But if you're a fan, you can.
Right.
Well, Carl, you have to go get our popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't. Anyway. We're down to like a month before popcorn becomes a regular thing again.
I know. We're excited about the start of the hockey season,
the
Carl.
First...
For the worst reason ever.
This weekend.
It's because we get popcorn.
Day old
popcorn.
ELO is at Enterprise Center on Friday night. That show is actually going to be better than Sammy Hagar.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at Mark's face.
Have you been drinking this morning, Carl?
ELO.
Because you know that's not true.
Jeff Lynn is going to be much better.
Hey, Carl, it was really nice. It was nice working with
Sammy
you.
Sammy Hagar has. Yeah, thank you, though.
You could.
I like ELO music. Don't get me wrong; it's just not as good as Sammy Hagar.
Go to the Odyssey app, and you can say that ELO is better than Sammy Hagar.
I'd
why would you say that?
Celine Dion in concert than ELO or Sammy Hagar.
Celine Dion would be a fantastic concert.
You can't hit the comment line there on the Odyssey app and leave us your comments on
and
that.
Tell us
I think
that
most
Celine
of you will
Dion
agree
is
with,
better than all of them.
Most of you
that's
will
right.
agree with me. I know, of course, but you can leave your messages and we'll play them throughout the course of the show. It's really easy.
Sammy's here every year. Jeff Lynne hasn't been here since 1981.
That's because he doesn't sell out concerts here.
That's just
every
so
time.
Loud on
every
that.
Time.
I'm just going to sit back and let you two battle this out.
Carl knows I'm right. He's got a personal beef with Sammy, so we'll talk about that later. All right, let's go ahead and get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Why did we want Trump there? It wasn't to help his political campaign. We wanted a leader. That explains why you and Joe didn't get a call.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark Schmitz. Of course, a gold star father, lost his son, Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, in the Abbey Gate bombing, really, that claimed 13 American service members' lives and scores of others in that botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. They're angry with the Harris campaign over them continuing to make a controversy out of what happened at Arlington National Cemetery.
She never has spoken to them or taken a meeting with them.
Well, they did meet with them during the dignified
it's
transfer.
Because of
they
her,
were with them at the dignified transfer.
Why? But you have every reason in the world to hate the mainstream media. There's another good reason for it. Kristen Welker, the morning show host for the weekend show on NBC, running interference for the Harris campaign, flat out lying. And guess what? NBC had to issue a retraction of what she said because it's not true.
So the fact of the matter is the Democrats are in worse shape today than they ever were at this point in a campaign running against Donald Trump. And so,
but they're in better shape than they were 2 months ago.
Again, there's Reince Priebus and Donna Brazile over there arguing with each other, right? You didn't hear Donna's voice there, but the conversation was between Reince Priebus and Donna Brazile. Reince Priebus is not much of a Republican, but he's about the best they can roll out. And he's talking about some polling that shows that the Democrats are not doing nearly as well as the mainstream media is acting like in this campaign.
ABC is probably the worst in terms of fairness. George Flapadopoulos, head of ABC, is her best friend and her husband's best friend, too.
Yeah, there you go. Donald Trump this weekend pointing out why the Democrats were so married to the idea of having their potentially only debate between Trump and Kamala only on ABC News, because they know that they have journalists over there like George Stephanopoulos and others who will absolutely... Well, how should you put it? Run interference for Kamala Harris.
I'm just a little surprised that he would say ABC is the worst. I was surprised at the debate between Biden and Trump that CNN actually asked some good questions. But I do think that Dana Bash totally soft-pedaled the interview with Kamala and Tim Walz.
So I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. So I'm a little surprised, though, that ABC, why ABC?
I just think they know they're going to get... kid glove treatment over there.
But any network would be like that, right? I mean, Lester Holt did ask some good questions, I felt like, with Biden. Or maybe it wasn't the questions, and maybe Biden dug his own grave. I don't know.
There is a fantastic article out right now by Jonathan Hurley, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Jonathan Turley. Well, I called him Hurley. Jonathan Turley. Talking about a lawsuit that Elon Musk has brought against Media Matters. It's a lawsuit aimed at media bias and how they run interference, and they don't even hide from it anymore. His point is, and it's a good one, and I'm quoting him here, for years, media organizations and journalism schools have expressly abandoned objectivity in favor of advocacy journalism. It's one of the things that drove me out of journalism. When I'm told that when you go cover this story, what you need to do is find somebody that you can chase down the street screaming questions at them and them not answering, which makes them look guilty even if they're not guilty of anything. You don't bring me a story unless we're advocating for somebody. Wait a minute, what happened to telling both sides of the story? If you walk into a journalistic story advocating, you're not doing what you were taught to do. Now, you can be an investigative reporter, but not every television news story lends itself to that. So this is the problem we have. ABC News, NBC News, CBS News, CNN, all of these big organizations that you pride themselves on being journalists are just advocacy groups these days. That's what they are, and they're generally advocating for liberal causes or liberal candidates, and they run interference for them constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And ABC is just one more example of it, in my opinion. And that's why the Democrats refuse to do the debate on Fox News or a debate or anything on Fox News.
I just don't feel like it'd be much different if they were to, say, do the debate with CBS or NBC.
Maybe not.
CNN too, but
if Kamala and Doug are really best friends with the head of ABC, it all makes more sense, because whoever carries it's going to make a fortune off of it.
What, did Stephanopoulos do the interview with Biden? Remember, it was two interviews.
Yes.
It was Stephanopoulos, uh-huh, and it was Lester from NBC.
Lester Holt.
Right. I felt like, didn't Stephanopoulos from what my memory now, wasn't that a decent interview that he did?
Well, yeah. I mean, heaven forbid he. You couldn't avoid it at that, mm-hmm, point. I think embarrassingly, he had to ask a couple of tough questions. I don't think
I just
wanted to, but he's also a Democrat.
Right.
And he
100%.
Wanted, if he could expose Biden and get him off the top of the ticket, that was absolutely what he wanted to do.
I just hope, though, that these networks realize that their ratings are tanking. They're down in the toilet.
Yeah.
And that one of the ways they can attempt is the key word, to try to earn the trust back. I'm not saying it's going to work, but would be to ask an actual decent question to Kamala Harris and be fair at the very least.
Yeah.
For this debate,
we'll talk. There's some reporting out on the Harris strategy for this debate, and we'll talk about that when we come back, including that new poll I mentioned earlier that really in some of these swing states, things are going really well for Donald Trump. And that's not the story you're getting from the mainstream media. We're going to talk about that right after this.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Still sends a chill down my spine. By the way, the Reagan film, despite the suppression of coverage of it and all of that in the month or two now leading up to its release, earned nearly $10 million at the box office over the weekend. And that was a bit of a surprise. I mean, Deadpool and all that still won, but I was glad to see that. It's on my list. I know some people that have already gone to see it and given it pretty good reviews. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Let's talk about debate for a minute. Kamala Harris, according to a report in Breitbart here, is quoting NBC News as saying Harris's plan for the debate centers around trying to agitate Trump. A source told NBC News that while Harris' team is preparing to talk about a variety of topics, the campaign very much views the optics of the debate as critically important. To that end, the source said, Harris and her team are focusing in on how to needle Trump to try to rattle him. In the sense, the source said that it's going to be less about substance and more about showcasing Harris as a woman who isn't scared and is going to stand up to Trump and hold him accountable. This is where what you said comes into importance, Kim. Trump may fall for that. The point is, will the debate moderators fall for it? Will they do follow-up questions if they ask her a question and she flat-out ignores the answer?
Right.
Because they generally certainly Dana Bash didn't do a good job with that the other day.
No. I mean, Tim Walz, for example, said that bad grammar is why he said that he
right.
had weapons of war. Get out of here. I mean, you should have questioned that. Really? Bad grammar?
That has nothing to do with
explain
grammar.
That to me. Explain how those two connect.
True. And also, I mentioned this earlier. This is a story from the New York Post about latest swing state polls suggesting Trump could score a decisive victory against Kamala Harris. Fresh surveys from seven battleground states show a scenario where Donald Trump could win in November with 296 electoral votes. Trafalgar did this poll. It shows Trump sweeping 44 electoral votes from pivotal blue wall states, eking out narrow wins in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin inside the poll's margin of error. And in four other battleground states, with Arizona, Nevada, and North Carolina all going to Trump. To be sure, each of these states remains a statistical dead heat, meaning it ultimately could go either way. But the polling is a departure from recent polling that showed Kamala Harris making gains in those states that would decide the election. She did not get a bump from the convention. That's the headline here this morning. That did not happen. So now you're going to see increased desperation on their part, like trying to needle Trump during the debate instead of worrying about her policy issues, because she doesn't have any. That's the biggest problem. We're going to be back in just a minute. Former Senator John Lamping, next hour. All right, welcome back. We want to get straight to former Missouri Senator John Lamping. Got him on the phone this morning. And John, hope you had a great weekend. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful fall morning out here as the sun rises. We're in the 50s, and obviously it feels like fall in the air. It's hard to believe we're as close as we are to the November elections.
Yeah, it's true, man. I noticed this morning sitting here in the studio that it didn't get daylight until after 6 a.m., and So the days are getting a little shorter on us, and it's sneaking up on us. And, you know, the other day I started seeing my first no on Amendment 3 signs popping up in yards around the place, around the area, which makes me happy because I know we're going to start getting hit with these TV commercials before long from Planned Parenthood pushing this this garbage. And what's your take on how this is going to shape out?
Well, it's interesting. I really feel like the campaign is yet to begin. The Missouri Right to Life had their annual dinner last Tuesday. I think that might have marked the beginning of their efforts. And you know, this fall there are 10 states that have an amendment involving abortion, which is amazing to think. You've got the whole gamut. You've got three blue states and four red states like ours, but there are two swing states, both Arizona and Nevada, that I think there can actually be an impact in the outcome of the presidential election. I'm very grateful for the fact that as much as this is a wedge issue, putting it politely, this issue here in Missouri, Amendment 3, appears to have little to no impact on any of the statewide races, which is very different when we had the stem cell initiative back in 2006. That actually determined the outcome of the U.S. Senate race when Claire McCaskill knocked off Jim Talent. So I'm very grateful for the fact that it looks like this is not going to have any impact on anything other than abortion, sadly, abortion, but it's not going to have a political impact in the here and the now.
Well, you know, Trump took a lot of heat. I think it was last week when he was doing an interview and someone asked him about a similar amendment in Florida, you know, that would completely change what they have right now, which is the six week ban.
I've got that sound. But here's what he said about it, John.
And you want abortion to be a states' rights issue in Florida, the state that you are a resident of. There's an abortion-related amendment on the ballot to overturn the six-week ban in Florida. How are you going to vote on that?
Well, I think the 6 week is too short. It has to be more time, and I've told them that I want more weeks.
So you'll vote in favor of the amendment?
I'm voting that I am going to be voting that we need more than 6 weeks. Look, just so you understand.
But then he obviously walked back that and said, actually, no, I would vote no on that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's interesting. We've got the debate next week, and it would make sense that the Democrats would want to make this an issue. They think that it's a winning issue for them. And I kind of hope that they do ask President Trump his position on this. As we all know here in Missouri, our amendment is the most extreme version. It codifies the right to abortion. It's obviously there's some efforts underway right now to try to sue for the fact that the language is so vague that it can be expanded to include all kinds of other things. But think about this in Missouri. It's very obvious that Trump's going to win here in Missouri somewhere between 15 and 20 point margins. And so in order for this amendment to pass, someone's going to have to vote for Trump and then vote for the amendment. And I think if he were to come out in the debates and say, look, my personal position is exemptions. My personal position is that there should be a 12-week you should allow abortion for 12 weeks or first trimester. If he is very clear about that, then obviously that's not what Missouri's amendment does. And so I think the best chance that we might have here of defeating the amendment is if Trump voters go into the booth, vote for Trump, and then say, you know, this is too extreme. I'm going to vote no this time. And maybe if there's a lesser ban, I'll vote some other time in the future. Now, having said all this, what's really interesting to me is that this ballot initiative, if it fails, I would expect it to come right back with maybe first trimester, second trimester being okay. I think that if it were to fail this time and come back, it would come back in a more strategic time, maybe in a midterm where there's a U.S. Senate seat at risk or something like that. So it could be a while. If it were to pass overwhelmingly, it would really reshape how Missouri Republicans govern at the state level. A lot of their time and energy has been surrounding that. And so if they were rebuked, then the party would change dramatically. So, you know, big changes are coming to Missouri either way. I know the three of us are all in agreement. I know your listeners are overwhelmingly Trump supporters. It's important to understand that the only way this amendment passes is if Trump supporters support it.
Yeah, that I think that is a that's a really good point. How key do you think, John, that this debate is going to be next Tuesday? Because there's a report out this morning that the Harris people are panicking a little bit and they're preparing her more to needle Trump than to talk policy.
Well, it's pretty clear it's going to be the only debate we're going to have, and it's probably going to be the only opportunity that that there'll be a circumstance by which Harris is not completely prepared and or given questions or edited, all that kind of thing. So it's really important with just 62 days to go, and then I guess it's 7 days from now. It'll be the best chance that we all have to see Harris have to defend herself. If the bar is going to be set so low that if she clears that bar, you know, I'm very concerned that she'll just run out the clock. And it's amazing. You look at one talk show after the next and the extent by which these reporters, quote unquote, are really serving the Harris campaign with their questions to Republicans, their follow-up questions, their attack questions, and then the softball slash beach balls they're serving up to Waltz and to Harris. So it might be the only chance we have to for the country that's undecided to see just how vapid and how shallow and how empty her approach to politics is.
Yeah, I hope that they see that. Certainly, I don't have any trust that ABC's journalists, as they call them, will ask enough tough questions or enough tough follow-up questions. I think that's part of the challenge, of course.
John, well, just think about it. We'll be talking about this, well, this time next week, it'll be the preview, so it's right here, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Excellent. I hope you can make it out next Tuesday night to our debate watch party.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. All right, John Lamping, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, yeah, appreciate that. By the way, since I brought it up, and I probably shouldn't have, it's sold out. Sorry about that. I warned you that if you didn't get your tickets early, we'd run out of space, and certainly the Maryland Heights Fire Department is going to be paying close attention to our capacity issues.
That's great news, though. I mean, that went very quickly.
It did, yeah. Filled up the room in a hurry, and we'll all be out there watching it and enjoying a nice adult beverage next Tuesday night as the drama continues. All right, let's get to a quick break here. We got In Other News coming up next hour. We're going to talk to former Missouri State Rep Jared Taylor because he's now with the Missouri Firearms Coalition, and he helped sponsor the SAPA Act, Second Amendment Preservation Act, which a court has now struck down. We're going to talk about that at 7:35.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
As Mark mentioned earlier, Deadpool and Wolverine reached a significant milestone by surpassing $600 million at the domestic box office sales, becoming one of only 16 films to do so. That happened over this Labor Day weekend. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, that movie earned about $15.1 million, bringing its North American total to $603.8 million and a global earning of $1.25 billion.
Wow. Guess I'm going to have to go donate to it at some point.
It was good.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one, too. I mean, the humor is littered throughout it, along with F-bombs.
Right. It is very, it is like very violent.
Yeah. It is very violent. Is.
I don't even know what it's about, to be honest.
You don't need to. You will never see this movie.
It's kind of like The
true.
Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook?
Yeah, like just like that. That would have been my guess.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
Romantic, more violence.
It's like a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Kind of is.
But
definitely.
It's got, yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Among other releases, the Dennis Quaid biopic Reagan, it debuted at third place with $10 million. It did get poor reviews, but on Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score was poor, but the viewer score was way, way higher.
Well, of course it was. Yeah,
they didn't screen it for us. That's the thing.
Thank you. Critics are never going to like a movie that's positive about Ronald Reagan.
Right. Alien Romulus secured second place, and It Ends With Us and Twisters rounded out your top five. Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi, they faced off for the first time in 15 years during a Netflix live-streamed hot dog eating event this Labor Day. It was hosted by Rob Riggle and Nikki Garcia. The competition saw Chestnut win by eating 83 hot dogs, earning him $100,000 and a WWE Custom Championship belt. It marked the renewal of their long-standing rivalry, but they did have some new rules this time. because this time you couldn't dip your hot dogs
in the water.
Yeah, and you could not take the hot dog off the bun, so they had to legitimately eat 83 hot dogs.
And he did.
Yeah.
Was I hearing Gordon Deal talk this morning before your show started?
All right, welcome back. We want to get straight to former Missouri Senator John Lampen. Got him on the phone this morning. And John, hope you had a great weekend. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful fall morning out here as the sun rises. We're in the 50s, and obviously it feels like fall in the air. It's hard to believe we're as close as we are to the November elections.
Yeah, it's true, man. I noticed this morning sitting here in the studio that it didn't get daylight until after 6 a.m. And so the days are getting a little shorter on us, and it's sneaking up on us. And, you know, the other day I started seeing my first no on Amendment 3 signs popping up in yards around the place, around the area, which makes me happy because I know we're going to start getting hit with these TV commercials before long from Planned Parenthood pushing this this garbage. And what's your take on how this is going to shape out?
Well, it's interesting. I really feel like the campaign is yet to begin. The Missouri Right to Life had their annual dinner last Tuesday. I think that might have marked the beginning of their efforts. And, you know, this fall, there are 10 states that have an amendment involving abortion, which is amazing to think. You've got the whole gamut. You've got three blue states and four red states like ours, but there are two swing states, both Arizona and Nevada, that I think there can actually be an impact in the outcome of the presidential election. I'm very grateful for the fact that as much as this is a wedge issue, putting it politely, this issue here in Missouri, Amendment 3, appears to have little to no impact on any of the statewide races, which is very different when we had the stem cell initiative back in 2006. That actually determined the outcome of the U.S. Senate race when Claire McCaskill knocked off Jim Talent. So I'm very grateful for the fact that it looks like this is not going to have any impact on anything other than abortion, sadly, abortion, but it's not going to have a political impact in the here and the now.
Well, you know, Trump took a lot of heat. I think it was last week when he was doing an interview and someone asked him about a similar amendment in Florida, you know, that would completely change what they have right now, which is the six week ban.
I've got that sound. But here's what he said about it, John.
And you want abortion to be a states' rights issue in Florida, the state that you are a resident of. There's an abortion-related amendment on the ballot to overturn the six-week ban in Florida. How are you going to vote on that?
Well, I think the 6 week is too short. It has to be more time, and so and I've told them that I want more weeks.
So you'll vote in favor of the amendment?
I'm voting that I am going to be voting that we need more than 6 weeks. Look, just so you understand.
But then he obviously walked back that and said, actually, no, I would vote no on that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's interesting. We've got the debate next week, and it would make sense that the Democrats would want to make this an issue. They think that it's a winning issue for them. And I kind of hope that they do ask President Trump his position on this. As we all know here in Missouri, our amendment is the most extreme version. It codifies the right to abortion. It's obviously there's some efforts underway right now to try to sue for the fact that the language is so vague that it can be expanded to include all kinds of other things. But if think about this in Missouri, it's very obvious that Trump's going to win here in Missouri somewhere between 15 and 20 point margins. And so in order for this amendment to pass, someone's going to have to vote for Trump and then vote for the amendment. And I think if he were to come out in the debates and say, look, my personal position is exemptions. My personal position is that there should be a 12-week, you should allow abortion for 12 weeks or first trimester. If he is very clear about that, then obviously that's not what Missouri's amendment does. And so I think the best chance that we might have here of defeating the amendment is if Trump voters go into the booth, vote for Trump, and then say, you know, this is too extreme. I'm going to vote no this time. And maybe if there's a lesser ban, I'll vote some other time in the future. Now, having said all this, what's really interesting to me is that this ballot initiative, if it fails, I would expect it to come right back with maybe first trimester, second trimester being okay. I think that if it were to fail this time and come back, it would come back in a more strategic time, maybe in a midterm where there's a U.S. Senate seat at risk or something like that. So it could be a while. If it were to pass overwhelmingly, it would really reshape how Missouri Republicans govern at the state level. A lot of their time and energy has been surrounding that. And so if they were rebuked, then the party would change dramatically. So, you know, big changes are coming to Missouri either way. I know the three of us are all in agreement. I know your listeners are overwhelmingly Trump supporters. It's important to understand that the only way this amendment passes is if Trump supporters support it.
Yeah, that I think that is that's a really good point. How key do you think, John, that this debate is going to be next Tuesday? Because there's a report out this morning that the Harris people are panicking a little bit and they're preparing her more to needle Trump than to talk policy.
Well, it's pretty clear it's going to be the only debate we're going to have, and it's probably going to be the only opportunity that that there'll be a circumstance by which Harris is not completely prepared and or given questions or edited, all that kind of thing. So it's really important with just 62 days to go, and then I guess it's 7 days from now. It'll be the best chance that we all have to see Harris have to defend herself. The bar is going to be set so low that if she clears that bar, you know, I'm very concerned that she'll just run out the clock. And it's amazing. You look at one talk show after the next and the extent by which these reporters, quote unquote, are really serving the Harris campaign with their questions to Republicans, their follow-up questions, their attack questions, and then the softball / beach balls are serving up to Waltz and to Harris. So it might be the only chance we have for the country that's undecided to see just how vapid and how shallow and how empty her approach to politics is.
Yeah, I hope that they see that. Certainly, I don't have any trust that ABC's journalists, as they call them, will ask enough tough questions or enough tough follow-up questions. I think that's part of the challenge, of course.
John, well, just think about it. We'll be talking about this, well, this time next week, it'll be the preview. So it's right here, and it'll be exciting to watch.
Excellent. I hope you can make it out next Tuesday night to our debate watch party.
Yeah, sounds good.
Good. All right, John Lamping, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Yeah, appreciate that. By the way, since I brought it up, and I probably shouldn't have, it's sold out. Sorry about that. I warned you that if you didn't get your tickets early, we'd run out of space. And certainly the Maryland Heights Fire Department is going to be paying close attention to our capacity issues.
That's great news, though. I mean, that went very quickly.
It did. Yeah. Filled up the room in a hurry. And we'll all be out there watching it and enjoying a nice adult beverage next Tuesday night as the drama continues. All right, let's get to a quick break here. We got In Other News coming up next hour. We're going to talk to former Missouri State Rep Jared Taylor because he's now with the Missouri Firearms Coalition, and he helped sponsor the SAPA Act, Second Amendment Preservation Act, which a court has now struck down. We're going to talk about that at 7:35.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
As Mark mentioned earlier, Deadpool and Wolverine reached a significant milestone by surpassing $600 million at the domestic box office sales, becoming one of only 16 films to do so. That happened over this Labor Day weekend. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, that movie earned about $15.1 million, bringing its North American total to $603.8 million and a global earning of $1.25 billion.
Wow. Guess I'm going to have to go donate to it at some point.
It was good.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one, too. I mean, the humor is littered throughout it, along with F-bombs.
Right. It is very, it is like very violent.
Yeah. It is very violent. Is.
I don't even know what it's about, to be honest.
You don't need to. You will never see this movie.
It's kind of like The
true.
Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook?
Yeah, like just that. Like that. That would have been my guess.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
Romantic, more violence.
It's like a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Kind of is.
But
definitely.
Anyway, go ahead.
Among other releases, the Dennis Quaid biopic Reagan, it debuted at third place with $10 million. It did get poor reviews, but on Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score was poor, but the viewer score was way, way higher.
Well, of course it was. Yeah.
Well, they didn't screen it for us. That's the thing.
Thank you. critics are never going to like a movie that's positive about Ronald Reagan.
Right. Alien Romulus secured second place, and It Ends With Us and Twisters rounded out your top five. Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi, they faced off for the first time in 15 years during a Netflix live-streamed hot dog eating event this Labor Day. It was hosted by Rob Riggle and Nikki Garcia. The competition saw Chestnut win by eating 83 hot dogs, earning him $100,000 and a WWE Custom Championship belt. It marked the renewal of their long-standing rivalry, but they did have some new rules this time. Because this time you couldn't dip your hot dogs.
In the water?
Yeah, and you could not take the hot dog off the bun. So they had to legitimately eat 83 hot dogs.
And he did.
Yeah.
Was I hearing Gordon Deal talk this morning before your show started that it's a hot dog every 7 seconds?
Every 7.3 seconds.
Every 7.3 seconds. And that's without dipping it in the water to disintegrate.
You
half
can't
of
have
it.
A drink at all during this?
No, I'm sure you can have a
it's
drink,
on Netflix,
right?
You just if you
can't
watch it.
You just can't dip it in the water. You know how they dip the bun?
Yeah, how does a guy do that?
That's
I just don't get that. 83 of them.
Well, Kobayashi hasn't done it in a long time.
Yeah, I say they said when was it? The last time they did it was I had it written down. Awesome radio.
Are you
2009?
Are you keeping this food down, or are you like?
Oh, I just don't know. I don't like to think about that.
Okay.
If you're a fan of Ahsoka season 2's release date is anticipated, but star Natasha Leo. Borduzzi? Did I say that right? Probably.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Butchered
it. Nailed it.
Who plays Sabine Wren in Ahsoka. She recently provided key information about the show's production timeline, which also hints at its release window. Fans of the Star Wars series will have to wait a while before the show returns to Disney Plus, as it will not begin filming until 2025.
Well, then Why would you keep teasing us about this stuff? It's like Yellowstone. Yeah, it'll come back sometime in 2026.
In 2075, we're going to start filming, and in 2095 we're gonna release it. Stay tuned.
Yeah,
I just like Carl perked up, and then it was just destroyed.
Oh,
we'll stick with Star Wars. German Navy stated that there was no deeper message behind the decision to play the iconic Imperial March, or Darth Vader's theme from the Star Wars films, from one of its warships as it sailed down the River Thames in London. A bystander filmed the event, and the video quickly went viral on social media, sparking reactions across Europe. And according to the German Navy, the warship was in the area just training exercises and had anchored in London for a routine supply stop. So they were just messing around.
A German warship playing going through London.
Is this, you'll be proud, I think, is this the da 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 da
oh my
da,
yes.
da 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 da
That's some dark humor on the part of whoever was blessed. Because there's no way the captain couldn't have known what was coming out of the speaker system, right?
We're a German warship in the River Thames.
They probably accidentally had it on their Spotify playlist and pushed it.
The only thing funnier is if the captain had come out wearing a Darth Vader mask.
That would explain it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, two, Kim.
Thank you.
It sounded like
I am your father. I could keep going, Carl.
See, you don't need to see it now. You already
know. No, I've seen part of it.
And a quick one. You may have heard about this. A Wells Fargo employee in Tempe, Arizona, was found dead in her cubicle 4 days after clocking in for her final shift. Denise Proudhome, she was 60. She entered the building on a morning of August 16, but was not seen again. Her body was discovered by security on August 20th.
Oh, my gosh. How does that even happen?
Hey, Wells Fargo, you need to pay closer attention to your employees, I think, potentially. Wow. All right, coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends first.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
As Mark mentioned earlier, Deadpool and Wolverine reached a significant milestone by surpassing $600 million at the domestic box office sales, becoming one of only 16 films to do so. That happened over this Labor Day weekend. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, that movie earned about $15.1 million, bringing its North American total to $603.8 million and a global earning of $1.25 billion.
Wow. Guess I'm going to have to go donate to it at some point.
It was good.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first one, too. I mean, the humor is littered throughout it, along with F-bombs.
Right. It is very, very violent.
It is very violent.
I don't even know what it's about, to be honest.
You don't need to. You will never see this movie.
It's kind of like The Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook?
Yeah,
it's kinda
like just like that. That would have been my guess.
It's almost the same.
Yeah.
Romantic, a little more violence.
It's like a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Kind of is.
But it's
definitely.
Anyway, go ahead.
Among other releases, the Dennis Quaid biopic Reagan, it debuted at third place with $10 million. It did get poor reviews, but on Rotten Tomatoes, the critic score was poor, but the viewer score was way, way higher.
Of course it was. Yeah.
Well, they didn't screen it for us. That's the thing.
Thank you. Critics are never going to like a movie that's positive about Ronald Reagan.
Right. Alien Romulus secured second place, and It Ends With Us and Twisters rounded out your top five. Joey Chestnut and Takeru Kobayashi, they faced off for the first time in 15 years during a Netflix live-streamed hot dog eating event this Labor Day. It was hosted by Rob Riggle and Nikki Garcia. The competition saw Chestnut win by eating 83 hot dogs, earning him $100,000 and a WWE custom championship belt. It marked the renewal of their long-standing rivalry, but they did have some new rules this time, because this time you couldn't dip your hot dogs
in the water.
Yeah, and you could not take the hot dog off the bun, so they had to legitimately eat 83 hot dogs.
And he did.
Yeah.
Was I hearing Gordon Deal talk this morning before your show started that it's a hot dog every 7 seconds?
Every 7.3 seconds.
Every 7.3 seconds. And that's without dipping it in the water to disintegrate
half
of it.
You can't have a drink at all during this?
No, I'm sure you can have a drink, right?
You just
can't dip it in the water. You know how they dip the bun?
Yeah. How does a guy do that?
That's
I just don't get that. 83 of them.
Well, Kobayashi hasn't done it in a long time.
Yeah. They said, when was it? The last time they did it was, I had it written down. Awesome radio.
Sorry. Are you
2009.
Are you keeping this food down or are you like...
Oh, I just don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
If you're a fan of Ahsoka, Season 2's release date is anticipated, but star Natasha Leo Borduzzi, did I say that right?
I'm sure you did.
Butchered
Nailed it.
Who plays Sabine Wren in Ahsoka. She recently provided key information about the show's production timeline, which also hints at its release window. Fans of the Star Wars series will have to wait a while before the show returns to Disney Plus, as it will not begin filming until 2025.
Well, then what the hell? Why would you keep teasing us about this stuff? It's like Yellowstone. Yeah, it'll come back sometime in 2026.
In 2075, we're going to start filming, and in 2095, we're going to release it. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
I just like Carl perked up, and then it was destroyed. We'll stick with Star Wars. German Navy stated that there was no deeper message behind the decision to play the iconic Imperial March, or Darth Vader's theme from the Star Wars films, from one of its warships as it sailed down the River Thames in London. A bystander filmed the event, and the video quickly went viral on social media, sparking reactions across Europe. And according to the German Navy, the warship was in the area just training exercises and had anchored in London for a routine supply stop. So they were just messing around.
A German warship playing going through London.
Is this the, you'll be proud, I think. Is this the da 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 da
That's some dark humor on the part of whoever was blessed, because there's no way the captain couldn't have known what was coming out of the speaker system, right?
We're a German warship in the River Thames.
They probably accidentally had it on their Spotify playlist and pushed it.
The only thing funnier is if the captain had come out wearing a Darth Vader mask.
That would explain it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, two, Kim.
Thank you.
It sounded like
I am your father. I could keep going, Carl.
See, you don't need to see it now. You already
know. I've seen part of it.
And a quick one. You may have heard about this. A Wells Fargo employee in Tempe, Arizona, was found dead in her cubicle 4 days after clocking in for her final ship. Denise Proudhome, she was 60. She entered the building on a morning of August 16, but was not seen again. Her body was discovered by security on August 20th.
Oh, my gosh. How does that even happen?
Hey, Wells Fargo, you need to pay closer attention to your employees, I think, potentially. Wow. All right, coming up, we'll get to Todd Pyro from Fox and Friends first.
Get more at 971talk.com.